Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish, where we explore the culinary, distillery, and the winery arts in and around the Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, host for your gastronomic tour of the region's amazing food and beverage scene. I'm here with John and Amy Good from The Good Farm. It's an organic farm up in Germansville in the northern part of Lehigh County. John and Amy, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having
us. Tell us a little bit more about your farm and your land and how long you've been working it.
I can give a little bit of our history. We've been longtime organic vegetable farmers in the Lehigh Valley. We've previously leased land at the Rodale Institute out near Maxitawny for 11 years. But Amy and I both grew up in Emmaus, and we were looking for a home farm, you know, eventually. And at 40 years of age, we finally bought a farm in Germansville in northern Lehigh County. But ever since college, we've been farmers. But we bought that farm, it's about 7 or 8, well, we moved there about 7 or 8 years ago. And it's an 18-acre farm with about 10 acres in certified organic vegetable production. We've been certified organic for a little over 15 years now. And we primarily, during all of our farming career, we've grown as a CSA farm, which is community-supported agriculture, for people who don't know. And basically, that's a sort of a reciprocal relationship between the customer and the farmer, right? We grow all the produce we can that's seasonally available in sort of, you know, east central Pennsylvania during the summer. And our customers join before the season, making a commitment to the farm. And then during harvest season, which is like June through honestly about December at this point with our winter share, they come to the farm once a week. We deliver to locations throughout the Lehigh Valley, and they get their weekly share of the harvest. That's sort of the basics of what we do and how it works.
And this is a family business, right? I saw pictures on the website of your kids. Are they willing participants?
Those pictures are a little old. Yeah. Back when they were young, they loved to be out in the fields with us. Now they're teenagers, but they are still involved just in different ways. Actually, our daughter works for CSA Pickup on farm, and she actually does love that. So she is the barn manager for CSA Pickup on Tuesdays and Fridays through the summer. And our son really enjoys driving the tractors. He does love all the lawn care at this point, which there's a lot of all around the barns and everything. But he's 14. We're hoping to graduate him to some of the bigger tractors soon.
And this land is just south of Blue Mountain, right?
Yes.
I mean, what's the soil like there? Characteristics? Good soil?
For vegetables, it's excellent. Very well drained. Yes.
It's a common area up there. We're sort of right below Bake Oven Knob. We look right up at it from the farm, but it's a common area for potato production is actually sort of what that ground historically was used for in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. And it still grows great potatoes, but as a good potato ground, it also grows really good vegetables. It drains really well, which means when it's dry, it's really dry. But, you know, in the summer, generally speaking here, we're dealing with like heavy rains and thunderstorms. And most vegetables, I would say probably like 75% like dry feet, you know, dry roots as opposed to heavily wet. So it's really productive, grows some crops really, especially great. It's really great at tomatoes, melons, does carrots really well, and potatoes. So when we first grew potatoes, they were like, oh, so that's why everybody grew potatoes up here. It makes sense that, you know, those people, you know, 150 years ago, they knew what they were doing. Yeah.
And this is the third farm that we've farmed ourselves, three different soil types. And by far, even our members who've traveled with us from one farm to another have said, this is the sweetest melons and the sweetest corn and tomatoes.
Is that distinct?
People who've been with us for a long time notice the difference from the different soils that we've been at.
The one thing you do kind of get in general when the soil doesn't hold water well is you get high sugar content, right? Mm-hmm. There's like less dilution of the produce. Like the tomatoes in a wet year don't really taste that good. They really like a drought and they concentrate their sugars. And it's kind of true with most of the produce. So the less water there is, the sweeter it gets. And then the sweetness, of course, is also where all the nutrients are, right? The sugars carry everything we need in the produce. So it's, you know, it tastes good and it's good for you.
Exactly. And we have irrigation. So, you know, we can give them all the plants the water they need, but they're never going to be oversaturated in our soils.
And you are certified organic, right?
We are.
And talk a little bit more about what that means and how consumers need to reconcile confusing terms out there, whether it might be, you know, sustainable or grown using organic processes and things like that. I think people are all going the right direction, but they all mean different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. The certification is just, it takes you the extra step. There's third party that comes in every year and inspects everything that we're doing to making sure we're, you know, following all the protocols. And some people, you know, use a lot of different methods, but there's just a little bit more you have to do to be certified organic. For instance, We have to prove that all of the seeds we're sourcing are not treated and organic when commercially available. Even the mulches that we put on our soil have to be organically grown. We can't just use any kind of straw or hay. It has to be organically grown straw. Our cover crop seed has to be organic. So it just takes you a little bit further than you might necessarily do otherwise. And it just ensures integrity throughout the whole process because of having that third-party certification.
And I would say sort of historically, like our background, the first farm we farmed at was in Chester County, and we were organic without certification. Because we were a CSA, we were selling direct to our customers. We felt like we could represent what we did really well, you know, because of that relationship we had. Then we moved to the Rodale Institute to lease land for 11 years, and Rodale is the home of organic certification. So if we were going to lease land on their property, it had to be certified. So in a sense, we were kind of forced into it by our lease agreement. But then I will say that after a couple of years, we're like, well, I see the value in this, that it does hold you to a higher standard. We saw people, you know, that sometimes would maybe sort of skirt the rules a little bit by saying we use organic practices. And it's like, well, there's certain things that you're doing that I can't do. So even though it's generally meant to represent products that are on a shelf where you can't meet the farmer, we just felt this was sort of like the double gold standard where we can talk to you and tell you about what we do, but we also have the stamp on our product, you know, and the third-party inspection every year and all that that we do as well, just to sort of relieve any consumer doubt. Like, yeah, it's definitely organic, but I can also tell you what product I'm using if you want to, because I'm walking around while you're here getting your produce, or you can email us. So
just another level of certainty. Not only just knowing exactly. The farmer, knowing the practices, but knowing that someone else with knowledge is watching over and saying, yeah, they're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Excellent. So you mentioned some of the crops that you're growing. What else do you grow on the farm?
We grow probably every vegetable you could think of and some that you can't. So we're trying to provide a really diverse, bountiful share week to week. For 22 weeks in the growing season. So we plant a lot of different varieties, but we do focus on what we call the staples. We know that people love to eat tomatoes, sweet corn, lettuce, carrots. And so, you know, we try to grow like the best varieties of those vegetables and rotate a lot of different things so that you're not getting the same thing week to week. We don't give kale 5 weeks in a row. You might get kale 1 week and then you'll make sure you get a different type of green next week. So, but pretty much A to Z, most any vegetable you can think of, we grow it.
Do you also do some specialty items and heirloom type items?
We do. Yes, we do tomatoes. We do lots of different varieties of melons that maybe you haven't had before. I mean, muskmelon is similar to cantaloupe, but it's actually different and it's grown in this region. It's a very strong aroma. People always love the muskmelons. We grow a cucumber called silver slicer. That's a white skinned cucumber. It's very thin skin with a lime green interior. Very delicious, a little bit of like a citrusy flavor to that. Tomatoes are probably the most fun thing that we do as far as varieties, because there's probably like 15 different varieties of tomatoes that we're growing between the cherries and the slicers and the paste tomatoes, and lots of beautiful colors and textures. And some of them are purple, some are pink and red striped, yellow with orange stripes, some are citrusy, some are really tart and smoke, some are smoky flavored. It's really kind of a lot of out there that you wouldn't find otherwise.
Yeah, it's a chance to experience some things you might not normally. Unless you're hooked exactly. in with the farmer or CSA.
Yeah, like Hawkeye turnips is something that's new that people have never have really, unless you have a CSA or a farmer's market. It's a Japanese style turnip that's beautiful, pure white with lovely greens, and you can eat it raw or, you know, like a radish, or you can have it cooked, and they're extremely versatile. And when I used to do farmer's markets, one thing I had everyone taste, just try this turnip. You've never had anything like it before. And people would always be like amazed that they're in love with this turnip. but people would, you know, really just go nuts for them.
And we grow one red tomato now we call it Good Line, because it's not available. Like we literally only farm, as far as we know, anywhere that grows this tomato. We got it from a seed we used to get from England, and the seed suppliers kind of went defunct. They no longer offered this variety, but we have always found that it is like maybe the best Lehigh Valley tomato. It just loves it here. It's just a red slicer, but it's a beautiful red slicer. It's like scarlet in color. It's scarlet all the way through. The taste is phenomenal. And so when it went off the market, we just decided that there was no way we could lose this tomato. So we've been saving our own seed and sort of developing our own land race of that tomato. So we have at least one crop that literally is available nowhere else. As far as we know, there might be some English gardeners who still grow it, but their strain is probably different than ours at this point. And that's just one of our favorite crops on the whole farm. It's a late season tomato. It really comes into its own in really September. But it's unique in that way, and it's just it just does fantastic here.
And lettuce as well. We develop our own lettuce mix. We've picked a lot of different varieties, and over the years we have a spring and a summer and a fall mix that we've really narrowed it down to get like just the best flavor, no bitterness, great crunch, beautiful mixture. People rave about our lettuce mix.
Talk a little bit more about the CSA too. We understand the basic concept, but what are some of the benefits to the farmer and then to the consumer?
Well, I can talk about the farmer benefits. I mean, the biggest thing for me and for both of us is that it relieves a lot of stress during the season, right? Like the majority of your crop is sold and spoken for in the winter months, and well, right up till the season starts usually. You know, we're still selling usually a few shares right up till June. A lot of your expenses, we're going to be spending a ton of money now in February and March. It's kind of when the most of our outlay for the season in terms of supplies, seeds, greenhouse work, all that stuff is going on, but you don't really have any cash inflow. So having that takes the stress off of that sort of time of year where you're not making sales, but you're accruing a ton of expenses. So that's one benefit to it. The other is just the fact that you get to know your customers. You know, you literally develop a relationship with them. So that's beneficial in that one, it's just nice to get to see the people you're feeding. It feels really good. But also when there is a problem or things don't go well, there's a severe drought, people tend to be concerned about how you're doing, you know, which is always feels good as a farmer. You're working so hard to give them their product. Maybe the drought's really bad. It's just been really tough, really hot. And their concern first and foremost is how's the farmer in this situation, which you don't get from other methods of selling your produce. And I think, you know, those are two really big things. I don't know if you can.
Well, yeah, no, I think the relationship is the biggest part for sure. People feel really connected to the farm. We get such great appreciation for our work. And when it is really hard, like every year we work really hard, but we don't always get the same output depending on the conditions. Right, we can put in the same efforts, and actually, we usually put in more effort when weather is tricky. But you don't get the same, you know, the same production just because we're so reliant on Mother Nature. So, but people are always so appreciative of what we're doing, and always giving us really good feedback, and that just it makes all the difference when you're out there struggling.
Let's kind of talk about some of the benefits to the consumer, the recipient of the CSA.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, one of the first ones there that's a benefit to the farmer, but that is also a benefit to the member is that. Because they're supporting the CSA before the season, because we know where our produce is going, because we have a set price for it, we know our budget, during the season, I and our crew can do nothing else but focus on their product. You know, we're not worried about trying to find an avenue to sell this product. We're not worried about shipping at this place or when a truck's coming. You know, it's like we can put all of our energy into doing the best job possible, which is kind of unique in farming. You know, normally you're trying to do a million different things, and we're still doing a million different things, but they're all production focused and quality focused. And being able to just focus during the season really on like growing a good product, getting it out of the ground, getting it into the coolers to the customer. It's good for us as a farmer because we can concentrate on our work, and it's good for them as a consumer because we can concentrate on that aspect of the work.
I was going to add the connection piece goes farther. So people are connected to us, but they're also connected to the land. We have a U-Pick farm, so people are welcome to come out. We have certain open hours, and we have cut flowers, cherry tomatoes, fresh herbs, green beans. And this is a little quarter acre right next to the barn. People can come out and pick some of their own crops while they're getting their shares, either delivered or on farm. And people just love it. They'll just spend hours out there picking their fresh herbs and their flowers and, you know, just enjoying the fresh air, the beautiful view of the mountain. And they, like, just really understand, have a much deeper connection to where their food is coming from by being able to come out to the farm. And also, we give them a weekly email that has recipes and a little bit of news from the farm, so that helps them feel connected. And then I think one of the major benefits really is just the quality of the food itself. And it really can't be overstated. The food is picked that day or the day before. There's nowhere you're going to get food that fresh except from directly from your farmer. Just the flavor is so different. Everything, you know, people don't normally like to eat vegetables because they're old and tired. Old and tired vegetables don't taste good. But when you pick vegetables fresh from the ground, have them just picked and washed, and they're going right home to your door, it's a world different. And people say that to me all the time. Once they come to the farm and they have our food, they can't go back. They get hooked on it because they don't want anything else. And I do have people say all the time how it actually changes, especially over the years. There's a learning curve to CSA. You know, learning to eat seasonally. When you go to the grocery store and everything is available all the time, it's not the same thing. You learn what comes in the spring, what comes in the summer, what comes in the fall, and how those vegetables are actually really well suited to what your body needs at that time. In the spring, we need cleansing greens and to purify ourselves after the winter. In the summer, we need all those fresh, juicy fruits to hydrate ourselves. And in the fall, we need the nourishing roots to really get us prepared for that cold winter again. And people, they just learn to eat this way and to make their foods, their meals, like based around the vegetables, not the other way around. So it inspires this creativity. You're learning how to cook new things in the kitchen. And you actually just eat more vegetables because you have all this beautiful food to use. And so you just, you know, feel great about trying to figure out ways to do it. And we do that a lot. I mean, I love to cook. So I'm always putting on my favorite recipes for all the vegetables in your share this week. You can do this and this and this. And here's how you can vary it based on what you have at home. And, you know, I just think people end up feeling better, like healthier. Some people lose weight. I mean, I get all kinds of good feedback from people about how it's had such a positive impact on their life.
I think the comment there kind of speaks to the signature in your email address from the quote from Wendell Berry that says, eating is an agricultural act, right?
So true,
it's
yes.
I guess the final act of the agricultural journey.
It's true. Everyone is involved in agriculture, whether you realize it or not, because everyone eats.
And how many people do you employ at the farm? And I also saw that you take interns and volunteers, right?
We do, yes. We employ generally about 7 people throughout this seasonally. We have a barn manager for CSA pickups, and then we have 3 to 4 people working in the crew in the field, as well as packing CSA shares. We also are part of the Diversified Vegetable Apprenticeship Program, which is a state registered apprenticeship for sustainable agriculture. So we're mentor farmers in that program. So we occasionally will get DVA apprentices on our farm who will get a state recognized apprenticeship after 2 years.
And what sort of work do the volunteers do?
Whatever's going on, you know, that's the easiest way to say it. I mean, we sometimes can do things if we have regularly occurring volunteers that will just suit their needs. You know, some people want to help pack vegetable shares. Some people want to do washing of produce. Some people want to pick. Some people want to transplant. But it also just kind of depends on what their schedule is and what we're doing that day, you know, because, you know, I always say as a, you know, quote unquote, vegetable farm manager is that the weather is your boss. We could be flexible somewhat of it. Sometimes something needs to get done today, you know, because it's going to storm this afternoon or whatever it is. So ultimately, you know, the weather and Mother Nature tells us what to do, and we either listen or we fail not listening.
And we always have volunteers in the CSA pickup barn because it's a really fun place to be. Everyone's always in there, like talking about the vegetables, sharing recipes, and just really happy to be there. So we always get volunteers for that spot too.
And did I read on the website that the volunteers do get a little bit of a treat, a little bit of something from the farm?
Yeah.
So it's not a true volunteer, right?
Volunteers always get vegetables. Mm-hmm. We practice vegetable diplomacy, everybody.
Yep. Anybody who helps us. The welder comes over, he gets vegetables. You know, anybody who we work with, that's part of the deal.
It makes everybody smile.
Mm-hmm. Connection is really key.
And yes.
If people want to connect with you on social media or website, what are those handles?
Oh, goodfarmcsa.com. That's our website. And we have Instagram and Facebook. Also, Good Farm CSA is a handle for those.
Okay. John and Amy, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish.